Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is the first Sunday of Lent. We are beginning a new sermon series on the parables of Jesus. This year we've been focusing on the Gospel of Luke. Out of all the Gospels, Luke is most closely associated with parables. Luke has the most parables in it, 24. It also has the most unique parables. 18 of the 24 parables in Luke are found in Luke alone. So what is a parable? A parable is a short story that teaches us about the kingdom of God, or in other words, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Jesus used parables in powerful ways to communicate the truths about the kingdom of God, and Jesus used them a lot. Parables make up one-third of all the teachings of Jesus found in the scriptures. So these short and powerful stories communicate the gospel in a powerful way. People remember the parables. If I mention the Good Samaritan or the Prodigal Son, most people, even people who don't go to church or read the Bible, know exactly what I'm talking about. So in March, we're focusing on these powerful parables of Jesus. And today we start with the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, which is a perfect way to start the season of Lent. It's a parable about confession and forgiveness. It's a parable about humility. And it's a compare and contrast parable, showing us two men contrasting the differences between them, the Pharisee and the tax collector. First of all, the Pharisee and the tax collector are both sinners. Now, the Pharisee and the tax collector are totally different men, but they have at least one thing in common. They are both sinners. We know that from the first two words of Jesus' parable, two men. Being men, human beings, we know that they are sinful. Let me pull out one of my favorite practical verses of the Bible, Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Whatever their differences may be, the one thing they have in common is that they both have sinned. You can assume that about everybody you know and everybody you meet. We are all sinners, no exception to the rule. But they are very different when it comes to their status and reputation in society. Pharisees were the most respected people in all of Jewish society. They were experts in the law, and outwardly, they seemed to be extremely devout and religious men. They were respected by everybody. They were the clergy of their day, and they were the definition of what spiritual people should look like. Their reputation in their society was perfect. It was spotless. Tax collectors were exactly the opposite. They were hated and despised by everybody. I shared this a few weeks ago when we talked about Matthew, that tax collector who became one of Jesus' 12 disciples. Let me share again with you why tax collectors were hated. Three reasons, right? Number one, it's in the name tax collector. They want your money. They're going to take it, and there's nothing you can do about it. Number two, they're traitors. They work with the Romans. They were the Benedict Arnolds of their time. And number three, they were almost always thieves. People assumed, usually correctly, that they took more than required and kept a big chunk of it for themselves. They were greedy traitors who wanted your money, and everybody could agree on one thing. We all hate tax collectors. So that's the difference here, or I should say that's what they have in common. They're from two different walks of life, but they are both sinners who need God's forgiveness. So let's talk now about their differences. Number two, the Pharisee was proud, the tax collector is humble. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, Luke 18:11. The tax collector would not even look up to heaven. The main difference between the men is their humility or lack of it. The Pharisee is proud, full of pride, while the tax collector is humble. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, which seems to be his favorite subject. He prays first about how much better he is than everybody else. Then he reminds God of all the good things that he has done. It's almost as if he thinks that God owes him something. Yes, Lord, you should definitely bless me. Look at all the good things I've done for you. You owe me, God. In fact, you are lucky to have me on your team. That's the attitude of the Pharisee. The attitude of the tax collector is completely different. I love how Jesus describes it. He would not even look up to heaven. And in other words, he's afraid to make eye contact with God. He's ashamed. He knows who he is. He recognizes his sin. He knows he's not worthy to be in the temple, God's house. He knows he's not worthy to be speaking to God. He's a sinner through and through, and he knows it. And Jesus teaches us that that is what makes all the difference between pride and humility. It's very simple. Pride and Christianity do not mix. Pride is the opposite of true faith. C.S. Lewis tells us pride is the essential vice. It is the utmost evil. It is the complete anti-God state of mind. We are all sinners. None of us has reason to think that we deserve anything from God. Faith, created by the Holy Spirit, always recognizes our own sin, our own unworthiness to be in God's presence. The tax collector may have done many great sins and evil to this point, but he does have the beginning of faith, the recognition that he is a sinner. He has the humility required to ask for forgiveness. Number three, the Pharisee focused on the sins of others. The tax collector focused on his own sins. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. That's the prayer of the Pharisee. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's the prayer of the tax collector. One of the ways that pride shows itself in the Pharisee is the way he looks at other people. His prayer focuses completely on the sins of other people. God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. What an awful prayer. I mean, it might just be the worst prayer ever recorded in Scripture. Thank you that I'm so much better than everybody else. And I'm definitely better than that guy over there. Thank you, God, that I'm so great. And I know what you're thinking. You're lucky to have me on your team. It is an absolutely horrific prayer. This man is so busy confessing other people's sins, he forgets to confess his own. But before we go any further, we need better not fall into the same trap as the Pharisee. We get so busy looking at his sins that we forget about confessing our own sins. Because, frankly, we can all be like the Pharisee. Like we talked about Wednesday, we all are tempted to virtue signal, and we all do it sometimes, don't we? We love to pretend to be holier than thou. We love to confess other people's sins. We love hearing the gossip. We love listening to the latest dirt on our favorite celebrities and on our least favorite celebrities. And deep down in our hearts, there's a part of us that sounds a lot like that Pharisee. At least I'm better than that guy. Thank you, God, that I'm not like that person. We love talking about other people's sins. And so much so, we forget to confess our own. In other words, we're just like the Pharisee. Now, in contrast, the Pharisee and our own sinful nature, let's look at the tax collector's prayer. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. What a fantastic prayer. Short, simple, honest, and to the point. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. He doesn't look at anyone else. He doesn't even look up. He simply confesses his sins and asks that God would be merciful to him. We can learn so much from the tax collector. We don't have to use a lot of fancy words. We don't have to pray for hours upon hours. Prayer can be direct, simple, and short, but it has to be honest. It has to confess the truth that we are sinners and deserve nothing from God, least of all, mercy. But we ask for it anyway, because we need it. And frankly, where else can we go? Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. He is our only hope, the only one we can turn to for the mercy and forgiveness that we need. And here's the good news. If we confess our sins, God is willing to forgive us. Which brings us to point number four. The Pharisee walked away from that day not justified. The tax collector walked away from the temple that day justified, fully justified by God. Luke 18, verse 14, I tell you that this man, the tax collector, rather than the other, went home justified before God. Now we get to the end of the story, the end of the parable. Jesus, in his parables, many times loves a twist ending. And frankly, so do all of us, right? I mean, we all love those shows that have twist endings, like Twilight Zone, right? Or M. Night Shyamalan movies, or Black Mirror. Many of Jesus' parables also have twist endings, endings that people of his time would not have expected. Now, these parables are so popular and familiar to us that they don't seem like twist endings, but this one definitely was to the people of Jesus' time. If there's only one person that's going to be justified that day, it's got to be the Pharisee, the pastor, the good person, right?
Nope, it's the lime-thieving Benedict Arnold called the tax collector. This is the man who walks away forgiven and justified by God that day. And it was honest, humble confession that made all the difference. The Pharisee was so busy trying to justify himself, he never confessed his sin, and so he couldn't be justified by God. The tax collector, in contrast, could only think of one thing to pray about. God have mercy on me, a sinner. And God loves to have mercy on sinners. I'm here to tell you, my friends, you fellow sinners, you are in the right place today because God loves to have mercy on us. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. I'm sure I am the foremost. Sinners like the tax collectors, sinners like you, sinners like me. John, Jesus' beloved disciple, summed up this parable in two very famous Bible verses, which you probably know really well. 1 John 1:8-9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 8, that's the Pharisee, right? He deceived himself into thinking that he wasn't a sinner. He went home unjustified, still in his sin. But here's verse 9. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the tax collector. He confessed his sin and God was faithful and God was just and forgave all of his sins. If we are less than honest, we refuse to see our sin and acknowledge our sin. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just. When we confess our sins, God will always, always forgive them. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.